Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You're listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Charlie Baker.
And this is the H&J Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we looked ahead to the Carabao Cup games and we were joined by podcaster and Stoke fan Ben Cartwright, along with Sam Avery, comedian and Evertonian. We spoke to the man that ate 60 Yorkshire puddings in 3 minutes.
With or without gravy, you'll have to listen to find out.
That's right. We had a chat with Lloyd Griffith.
Ah, yes.
He was very good. He was very down on his club. Charlie gave him some clog, as you'll hear. And we had the clips of the month. And we had a chat about various things as well. I'm starting a magazine, apparently, yeah. As you'll discover. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. And good afternoon, Andy.
If Andy's listening, good afternoon.
Good
to
afternoon.
Him.
He might be listening.
You never know.
Listening to Toby there talking about what's been going on at Dover, which, of course, is not great. Mm. But he just used a word there, and it struck me that it would have been a good name for a place for a night out. So it's Scuffles.
Oh, lovely.
Well, you ready to go home yet? No, I'm not really. When they close it, we'll go to Scuffles. Let's go to Scuffles.
Women
for a
getting
of
free.
Hours. Yeah, that's it.
Women are in free tonight at Scuffles.
Yeah, let's go down Scuffles. I mean, it would be, I mean, you wouldn't call it that, but that's
two for one on cocktails at Scuffles.
What it'd be called. You had your own one you were telling us about back in the day that
Yes, I used to go to Scarborough quite a lot.
Right.
And there was a pub there called a bar there called Quids Inn.
Quids Inn, yeah.
Quids Inn.
Not in double N.
Yeah.
Oh,
Quids Inn.
The Quids Inn.
And it was a pound inn. They obviously had something going on, like you had to be a member or something. So Quids Inn, pound inn, and then every drink was a pound.
Really? It's all night?
All
anything,
night. I mean, everything.
Single malt?
Arthur
Foster's.
Not many people are on the single malt in there, Paul. I will
there weren't many people going, just touch it. Just a splash of water.
Just
in
a little
bit
of water. It breaks it up.
Just to free up the flavour for me. This, it's quite peaty, this, isn't it?
That wasn't the sort of place it was.
This is marvellous. It's off one of the islands.
Single malt.
So these are the sort of places you would have gone Scuffles, you would have gone Quids Inn.
What was your other one? You had a good one.
I do. Convulsions.
Oh, beautiful.
That was in the days of the fun pub.
Beautiful.
Where are you going tonight? Going Convulsion. Seeing Convulsions.
Oh, yeah. Classy.
Seeing Convulsions.
Bit classier than Scuffles.
It wasn't a real one. This one I intended to open. But anyway, you're not going to get a chance to go to these places. Most of them, practically all of them, are closed. So if you want to relive a few of those places that you would have gone just pre-Christmas.
Yeah.
That maybe haven't dated too well when you think about. And what were they like? Give us a bit of an insight. We take it as read it out of sticky carpet. We know that.
I did a gig in Tallinn about 18 months ago.
In Estonia.
Whenever I go anywhere like that, I always say to the people who run the gig after the gig, take me to the worst pub. Take me to like the roughest.
Really?
Because I want to see like proper life, you know.
Yeah.
And we went to this place. He went, I know exactly the place. And we walked in and it was like... Well, remember that programme with John Sim when he went back in time?
Oh, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Life on Mars. It was like that, but like 1982.
Wow.
So it was like, it was an unbelievable place. But everyone was dressed in like snow wash, denim and like big mullets like we were talking about yesterday. And just, and everyone was drinking like just tiny little clear shorts. And it was like 80s music, 80s hip hop it was on the jukebox. And it was just amazing. And then I was like, is this a theme pub? Oh no, this is it. This is absolutely it. And like, oh, it's brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Fantastic.
I cannot remember what we drank.
It's a good thing to do.
Had
that.
Tabasco in it. I remember that.
I've done a similar thing in Prague before. And you go in and everybody sitting there was drinking like 30p pints of Budvar. But they're all in high vis. But it's not like they just finished work. This was quite late in the evening. They're all sitting there in high, so they've just
God, I got there at 5, and they're just, I'm not going to go home and have it. I'll just stay on it now.
It's,
now
so, it's so when they fall over on the way home, people can see them, you know.
My youngest lad tells me...
All right.
I thought this was somewhere in Leeds where he's at uni, but no, he says the Moonlighting Club used to have a student night called Sticky Feet.
Oh.
It was in Soho. He said £1 singles, £2 doubles.
Oh, lovely. Apparently now Tim, the Villa fan from Scarborough, has been in touch. Still got quids in Scarborough, but it's £4 in. And that's inflation for you.
So they've still kept the name.
Still kept the name.
Great.
And Flappers Nightclub in Ghoul.
Flappers in Ghoul. Imagine, have you ever played
Flappers?
Charlie, I want you to do a residency. Yeah, so we can say at the end of your show with Max, every set, the way they used on TV, they used to say...
You can see me tonight at Flappers in Ghoul. Live.
It sounds like something you'd get on a James Martin show. What are you making today, James? Well, this morning we're making Flappers in Ghoul. What's Ghoul, James?
It'd be sort of as you.
Yeah, that's what we call it. Yeah, it'd be good, wouldn't it? Fantastic.
Rafters it was in Newton Abbot. Rafters.
Rafters in Rafters,
yeah, Rafters Nightclub in Newton Abbot.
They were just such lame names.
Who comes up with them?
Who let people get away with that?
Imagine the ones that are like, no, that sounds a bit rough.
I'd like to now salute the people that have held their nerve this Christmas, because this is from yesterday. So the last minute shopper. B&Q have slashed prices of real Christmas trees from £60 to £1.
Oh my gosh.
So have you got... I mean, the secret clearly is to go very late.
Got to go
Christmas.
Late on it, yeah. I think people have gone earlier, haven't they, this year?
You could probably have a £500 Christmas for about 25 pence, couldn't you?
You can't get rid of them, Paul.
Got to hold your nerve.
You can't get rid of them. I sold Christmas trees for a bit at Jack's Patch in Tynmouth when I was growing up.
That could be a club as well.
Jack's Patch.
Jack's Patch in Tynmouth. It's just a litany of ridiculous names, isn't it? Whether it's a bar, whether it's... What was Jack's Patch in Tynmouth?
It's still there. It's like a garden centre.
Oh, okay.
sold Christmas trees in the car park. And, of course, gets to Christmas Eve.
Could you work one of those machines where you put it in, it puts the netting
all
on
that,
it?
All that, yeah, that, lovely, all that. Very dangerous.
Do you want the block on or block off? Did you knock the old bit of wood at the bottom?
Yeah, but you had to be multi-skilled.
Oh, of course,
Paul.
Yeah.
Very much the Sammy Davis Jr. of the Christmas tree world.
Of course you were. You had to be able to do a bit of everything.
I can do the block, I can put it through the net, I can lift it,
carry it,
I can put it in your
car.
Do the lot. Anyway, Christmas Eve, you've got a load left over. Take what you want.
Right. Can you take one?
So I went home with like 3 Christmas trees.
What for?
And of course mum and dad are like, "What are we on these? We don't want these." So we just had 3 more Christmas trees to throw away in January.
Got to take them down the dump.
Exactly.
Anyway, want to hear from you this afternoon. This is off of Dirk van Dijvenbode. He is a darts player, and he beat Rob Cross, a former champion, which is pretty impressive. So well done to Dirk.
Good.
But Dirk's thing, as he apparently, we heard from Dan Dawson, who's going to be giving us updates on the darts, that Dirk is an aubergine farmer, which now does explain why he goes on stage clutching an aubergine as a talisman, as a good luck charm.
Lovely, yeah.
But apparently last night he never took it on and beat a former champion. So now he said that's it.
It was holding him back.
He's ditching the aubergine. And we just wondered, did you have an odd good luck charm?
Yeah,
I mean, up
nice.
There with the aubergine, not necessarily a St. Christopher or something like that, but something a bit weird and wonderful. And did the luck run out, or did you kind of decide that, you know, I'm just going to have to ditch this thing? And did it turn your luck around? Maybe you got luckier.
I've never, whenever I always buy a Torquay United shirt every season, and they've never been lucky. Whenever I wear them to games, we always lose this season. Very lucky
it's
shirt
been very
this
lucky.
Season. Didn't wear it last week, v Dagenham and Redbridge, we lost, Paul.
Oh,
so it's
that's good. It is a proper lucky shirt.
It's a proper lucky shirt. So, aubergine, aubergine.
Yeah. Tonight, though, wouldn't it have been lovely? We could have got in the car after this show, headed north and gone to Chuffers in Bolton.
Chuffers.
We could have met Mark in Chuffers. He said it was fantastic.
Who's naming them? Who's naming them?
I think it was like some brain set. It was probably some agency in London that's... So we've got Chuffers. Well, that's Bolton all day.
Flappers.
Flappers has got to be Gaul. And...
£4 into quids in Scarborough.
Yeah, £4. We've got to put the price... Imagine that meeting when the owners of quids in got together.
Yeah.
That day when they had to say... Someone,
have to put it up.
They're brainstorming how they're going to make more money. And then someone just quietly in the corner of the room would have said, could put it up to £2. And then there'd been this dreadful, but we can't, we're quids in.
We are quids in.
We are going to have to do it. You know, this was never going to be inflation proof as a business name, was it?
£4 in. I wonder if it's still a quid a drink.
Anyway, you are listening to TalkSport, if you wondered.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Yes, not many of our guests have their own music, but the next one does. Stoke take on Spurs. It's live on TalkSport 5:30 this evening. And Ben Cartwright, Stoke fan and podcaster from Wizards of Drivel. Good afternoon. It's just a play on Ben's surname, of course, for fans of Bonanza. Sorry, Ben, every time, but it's nice to have your own theme tune, isn't it?
It's an absolute honour always. And, you know, the funny thing is, actually, I got one of the Bonanza series on DVD last year from my parents for Christmas. But this year I'm not going to get any presents for Christmas. I should have been grateful when I got the Bonanza, really. Yeah.
We always set like to a map of the Potteries when you're on as well, but yeah, obviously that's a visual thing that you can't see. So, tonight's game. I thought you and the fellow Spurs, Stoke fans would be down there sweeping out the changing rooms. Mucking it out ahead of tonight's game after all the fuss that Neil Warnock made.
Yeah, it's apparently an awful place to be. And we obviously love Neil Warnock and everything that comes out of his mouth around Stoke. So, yeah, great to hear him complaining about that, I thought. And we'll see what Jose says.
Yeah. What about tonight? How are you feeling about tonight's game? And we've spoken to you plenty of times when the team have not been in good shape, but it's not going too badly at all at the moment, is it? And here you are in a quarter final of a cup competition.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just excited for it. You know what? I know we sort of like to moan about different kickoff times. I quite like the 5:30 kickoff time because it lets you have your evening afterwards. I can watch the game at 5:30. Hopefully we beat Spurs with our newfound success with Michael O'Neill, and then I can have an evening to myself. But it is exciting. It's sort of, I think we got through that sort of League Cup just madness. There was weeks and weeks of League Cup, and it was almost like getting through to past the group stages of the Champions League, because then there was a big wait until the quarters. So yeah, tonight should be good. And I should have been watching it with my dad, brother, and uncle. Obviously, if there was a different time, that's the only shame. But but other than that, I'm excited to see what happens. And considering we're playing sort of pragmatic football, we're sort of been compared to the Jose Mourinho of the Championship, I think, at the moment. And I think that sets us in good stead.
And you didn't make a great start with Michael O'Neill, did you? It had quite a long run of not many wins and. And, you know, the odd draw here and there, it wasn't looking good, but you stuck with him, and obviously it's paid off. Do you think clubs should stick with their managers? I mean, at the moment, you see everyone calling for Arteta out, all that sort of thing.
Well, I mean, the Arteta one is a very difficult one. I think the thing is, when Michael O'Neill came in for us, and you could probably say the same for Arsenal, that they're in absolute disarray anyway when Arteta came in. So I think with Michael O'Neill, we knew that he'd obviously done such a good job for Northern Ireland. We knew that we were in an awful place. I mean, I was coming on to this very show and just having to be absolutely down and sort of out about Stoke because we were doing so poorly. So a year ago, it was almost looking like we were definitely going to go down to League One. And obviously 12 months later, everything's on the up and everyone's in a much better position. So, maybe that's just at Stoke. But yeah, I think Michael O'Neill is just a brilliant manager, and I think he is perfect for Stoke City, the club, because I think his mantra is whatever's available or to him, he can use that squad of players to his advantage. Now, at the moment at Stoke, we are suffering a mad injury list. I think we've gone through about four goalkeepers. It's obviously not the place to be a goalkeeper. I'm sure Jack Butland can testify to that, but I think we're going to be playing a debutant tonight in goal, potentially. But I think if there's one manager who I would trust to set up a team of 11 players, whoever they were, even if they wanted to chuck me on, I think I'd trust Michael O'Neill to do it. So it's going to be an interesting game. And there's nothing to lose. I think that's the main thing. And Tottenham are, whatever you say about the football, I think one of the more interesting clubs to watch at the moment. So I'm it's going to be an interesting game. And we'll see what we can do up against some of their stars, but that's all we can do.
I think he'll load the bench with the big hitters, Son and Kane, and I think he'll probably start Vinicius and one or two others, and Bale potentially. He did score a fine goal at Stoke, of course, back in the day.
I remember that one.
Yeah, that was a corker.
Nothing to worry about with Bale just on the
he's got no previous at your ground. The Andy Lonergan could be in goal. That could be the story, couldn't it? A championship winner's medal with Jurgen Klopp last year as part of the squad, 37 years old, much travelled. And that feels like, you know, everything Tottenham fired at, Lonergan kept it out. You can see him at the end of the game with his arm around Mike. What a performance it was. Tottenham have been stiff by goalkeepers like that over the years.
Saved the winning penalty.
Yeah, you can, there feels like there's a story that could be building there, Ben.
I mean, I'd take that. I mean, we are awful at penalties at the moment. I don't know. I don't quite know the stats, but saving them and scoring them. So I think if it goes that far, then we're probably worse off than the first 90 minutes, to be honest. But yeah, I mean, that would be a great story. Why not?
And we should say you also do a podcast, we understand, with Jordan North, who has just been on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me
Suddenly
Out of Here.
Numbers just flown up on that.
Yeah, well, I suppose you'll be sort of shouting happy place, bet365 with you tonight.
I hope I will be. He's going to enjoy the fact that you've mentioned that, because on that very podcast, Elbow Six, my boss, he always says, because I come on Talksport, he says I put on a bit more of a Cockney accent when I come on. So
really, you've got a bit of trade. Oh, I see. I didn't. Do you think that's fair? Have you listened back? And has anybody else said, you're getting a bit earthier? You think you're aiming for the Talksport heartland?
Yeah, you're going for it.
Well, yeah, I mean, my roots are in London. So I was born in London, but I've obviously got a slightly posher voice and I support Stoke. So I get a bit of stick for the sort of various voices and personas I put on, I think. But yeah, fingers crossed for a happy place tonight.
We're talking about nightclubs, and I've done a couple of shows in Stokeport. I remember in the 90s, late 90s, going to Valentino's. You're probably two in Hanley.
Valentino's.
Up in Hanley. In Hanley on Stoke-on-Trent, because, of course, Stoke-on-Trent is made of seven towns?
Yeah.
Six towns.
Like, you invented a new one.
I gave him a new one, yeah.
Yeah, wow. you were in London at that point, were you, sipping cocktails?
Yeah. But Valentino's, great night out.
Nice, good night out, was it?
No, awful, Paul. Awful. Okay. Terrible.
Do worry, some of these places are still there. Ben, enjoy the game tonight, and good to talk to you. Have a good Christmas.
I will do. Thank you, too.
Okay. Cheers, there we are, Ben Cartwright there.
There he is.
The
slight gap, wasn't it?
Wizards of Drivel podcast. Well, we do get a slight delay from Stoke. Some of these clubs now, I'm wondering whether
people are trying to catch us out.
Well, Nige, was there really a club in Plymouth called Danglers? I mean, if there was, I'd love to have gone there.
I think it's the old Anglers. You used to go to the Plymouth Sea Angling Centre nightclub on the Barbican, which will be there.
Yeah.
And then, but they obviously call it the Anglers.
Oh, yeah.
So it's Danglers.
Danglers.
The Anglers, isn't it?
Yes, of course it is.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
I probably had to just show you from the local.
The one in Blackburn you've looked up, Carl. You've actually looked this one. It did exist. What was it called,
Charlie? I can't find it now.
There it is. Nightclub in Blackburn Lanks a few years ago. It was called Jazzy Kex.
Jazzy Kex,
though, is now a Costa or something. Has it become a coffee shop?
Some sort of cafe.
How could they close down there? People in Blackburn look back on the sad day they closed down Jazzy Kex. It was a turning point for the town, really. Anyway, you can't go any of these places.
No, they're all
definitely,
gone.
Definitely would have been the places you would have gone tonight and tomorrow night. So if you want to give us a few of your old faves and something interesting about them, feel free. The Lucky Charms, the Dutch darts player running on with an aubergine for every game as a lucky charm. Didn't last night and beat a former
Still
champion.
Did it.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
A little bit of breaking news just coming into us. The FA have suspended Atletico Madrid's Kieran Trippier for 10 weeks and fined him £70,000 for betting breaches. They've been awaiting that judgment. So there we are. 10-week ban and a £70,000 fine for Kieran Trippier.
It's a lot, isn't it?
So yeah, well,
that's quite a lot. That's quite a long time, isn't it?
Well, so, yeah, we'll have to see how that shakes down and what it means in reality for him over the next half hour or so. But first, we're going to talk Grimsby Town, and Ian Holloway, of course, a regular voice over the years here on TalkSport, took to Twitter today to say that he was leaving the club. And yeah, explain some
it's
of
a
the
shame because he joined there in quite a big, quite a big celebration, wasn't it, when he was up there. And that what normally happens when someone like that takes over a smaller club like Grimsby, one of the tiny little clubs like them, he really can drive them onwards, can't he, towards glory.
I think you're having a bit of a pop, our next guest. Well, it's not a day to wind him up, I'm guessing. Lloyd Griffith is the man we often turn to, of course, comedian and Grimsby fan when we talk about Grimsby Town. Good afternoon, Lloyd.
Little clock.
See?
Got him. Fished him in.
Watch your team play with porter cabins in the background. Unbelievable.
But they're on their way back.
On
their
way back.
They're on their way back, apparently.
We'd love Gary Johnson.
So was this a surprise? I mean, Ollie sent some stuff out last week, which I saw, which didn't bode well. Yeah. So it probably didn't come as a complete shock to Grimsby fans, did it?
Well, a little bit, yeah, because he came out 2 days ago and said he's not leaving unless someone asks him to. And then he left this morning. Like, I love Ollie. I think he's great. And, you know, I've known him, obviously, he's a cult hero, isn't he? And from working at Sky, used to come in on a Friday night when he was doing the bait, and he would always know about Grimsby Town, and would chat to you, knew everything about you. And he's a lovely, lovely bloke. So we're over the moon when he got appointed. But we have a problem with the current owner of our club, as pretty much every team in the country probably does. And I just wondered as to when it would be when they kind of fell out. It's a bit of a weird one. He's blamed things off the pitch as to why he's leaving. But he's been frustrated with the way that things have been dealt with at the club. We've had all sorts of things going on. Majority shareholder kind of in cahoots with a fraudster and stuff like that, the guys that were interested in Notts County. So there's been a lot of politics off the pitch, which hasn't been great for Ollie. And then, you know, the fact of the matter is we haven't had a good season. And we lost to Bradford last night, two amazing goals from Novak and Sutton. World is, but I mean, you know, we're just not in a good place in the league as well. So I think it was a little bit of a surprise. It'd been nice to have seen him kind of get through Christmas, but he's gone, and the club have said that apparently our majority shareholders selling his shares. So who knows what's going to happen in the next few days and weeks.
I think Grimsby and Torquay are very similar clubs, actually, Lloydie, aren't they? Because, you know, in difficult parts of the country to get to, where it's difficult to attract players, and all you really long for is stability and for your club to exist and have some success. You don't ask for a lot, do we? So when something like this happens and it causes doubt again, I mean, you were in the conference, the National League, for a while, weren't you, and got out of it, and now you're slipping down the leagues again, and you can just see it all sort of happening again, and just long for that stability.
And that is the thing, and that's all we've kind of hoped and wished for. Like, not this isn't a witch hunt at all on the current majority shareholder, but he took over in 2004 and blamed the collapse of ITV Digital. I mean, crikey. I mean, so many clubs were in the same position, but who didn't go down into the conference and stuff. And as you say, Charlie, I mean, geographically, it's a bit of a, sometimes it's quite hard. We've actually lost players to Scunthorpe, who've been driving up to Grimsby to sign for us. And then Scunthorpe is, what, 45 minutes closer than where they're from on the M180. And they've just popped into Scunthorpe and signed for them in the past. So, what I've speaking to a few players over the last few weeks and months about this whole thing is, you know, players talk. And if they know that somewhere isn't a happy place and that they're not willing to sign. So if it's geographically not a great place, and then, you know, you've got someone that's going to try and dock your wages for whatever reason, then it's not going to bode well. So yeah, I mean, Ollie's a lovely bloke. I wish him all the success with whatever goes on. He sold his house down in the southwest to invest in Grimsby. And so I just hope that him and Kim are, you know, have got something sorted. But Ollie's a lovely bloke. I mean, I wouldn't speak ill of him. You know, his heart is absolutely in the right place. But I just think he's been a bit done over by, you know, ownership, which, you know, is just too much of a common thing in English football.
Is this right for Alan Buckley to come back?
Oh.
It would be Alan Buckley's, I think, 14th stint looking after Grimsby.
It would be a great story with Alan King.
Brian Laws, I think, was at Scunthorpe 12 times after Alan Buckley. He's still involved, Alan. I mean, and he's Brandon, his grandson, I think, he's still involved in the setup as a player. I think he's out on loan at the moment. But yeah, there's rumours as to who might come in. I mean, Alan is forever a Grimsby Town legend, getting us promoted in the 97-98 season and doing the double at Wembley, which not many people can say. So, I think though, 4 years ago, three years ago, his name definitely would have been in the hat. But I think, do you know what? I saw Alan Buckley, and again, I won't speak ill of the bloke. I think he's a lovely man. You know, when you see someone and you just, and something, he was wearing Uggs. And I just think
really? Was he doing the Ugg shuffle, that thing where you don't pick your feet up in them and you just...
Well, no, they look brand new, to be fair.
Oh, they just got them out.
Brand new, pristine. And I think it was Boxing Day like 4 years ago. He used to do the commentary on BBC Radio Humberside with John Tonda. Now Gary Croft does it. I remember seeing him Boxing Day maybe like 2 or 3 years ago, and I just saw him walk in. I was like, what's Alan Buckley? And then you look down going, how's Alan Buckley wearing Uggs? I mean, Crocs had I taken, but Uggs.
But it's the perfect Boxing Day shoe.
They're very comfortable. An ex-girlfriend of mine used to have them, and weirdly, we were the same size feet. Not weird, more. She was really tall.
Ex-girlfriend of yours.
Probably. Go on, Charlie. Was that me?
There's quite a lot of them. Add her to the list.
Cool, so, blimey.
I don't think Alan Buckley's in the running, but the bookies are already tipping. I think Bradford are in the same situation as us. Do you know what I mean? A decent club in the lower depths of League Two. Well, I mean, Southend as well, crikey. So, I think there's a lot of people after the same kind of like small pool of managers. So we'll just have to see what happens. But it's been an absolute weird season for us. We signed a lot of players, some good, some not so good, and I'm still waiting for the call up, to be fair.
You've got dates for next year for touring. Hopefully that'll all still be okay. But your other sideline, apart from being a fine goalkeeper and stuff, is you're a chorister. But I mean, again, has that been put paid to, isn't it? All your Christmas, big time for you, Christmas normally, I would think.
I tell you it's the first time in 30 years that I've not been singing at Christmas. I did some carol singing about 2 or 3 weeks ago for some for a charity. Went to some care homes and did some singing outside and stuff. Which was nice, but that's just the kind of charitable guy I am. Do you know what I mean? That's the deal.
And they're not allowed back to their rooms, are they? You can just stand there and do it anyway. So you know.
That'll be enough from you, Charlie. Cheers, mate. I've seen 3 gigs in the last 10 minutes of coming into a space here.
It's like a roast. It's like the Lloyd Griffith roast.
I've missed it. I've missed him.
Honestly, I'm sat in my bedroom in my pants. I mean, nearly crying.
Getting slaughtered.
I'm literally in my boxer shorts. I've just been for a run. But I tell you what, mentally, not singing this year has been a big toll for me, because it's just something that I've done regularly for 30 years, you know, either singing at Westminster Abbey or Windsor Castle. It'd be cassock and rough like an absolute bad boy, but it's first time, not been doing it, because it's, it's a bit, at the moment, still, deemed as dangerous, so hopefully next year.
Well, Lloyd, have a great Christmas. Good to talk to you, and things turn around for Grimsby.
Always a pleasure to speak to you. Next time, just do the show on your own.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, I'll make sure he's not in next time we talk. Cheers, Lloyd. All the best.
Cheers, guys. Take care.
That's Lloyd Griffith. You can catch him on tour next year. Go and check out his website.
Very funny man. Great singer. Lovely bloke.
Amazing voice.
Terrible golfer, Paul.
Is he really?
Oh, he went mad on golf this year.
Really?
Really played a lot of golf. No better whatsoever.
Really?
Really not.
What is it? No. It's just hand-eye basics?
Just basics? Just whack it into the bushes. Just as hard as he can.
Really? It's like Happy Gilmore.
A lovely bloke.
Just remind you, Kieran Trippier's got a 10-week ban from the FA. I mean, I don't know much about this at the moment. Obviously, I know why it happened. But it's just striking me, and it's probably very obvious. But, of course, he plays in La Liga.
I mean, yes.
Is the hope that Diego Simeone will take this well and sit him out for 10 weeks? Or will it just involve games where the FA have got some kind of jurisdiction, like England matches,
England,
or if he ever comes back here and plays in the FA Cup?
Oh, right.
We'll try and drill down into that.
Yeah, well, is that worldwide, or is it just the FA? Is it
La Liga? And say, just give him 10 weeks off. I mean, it doesn't seem like Atletico's way to work, but we'll find out. We'll find out whether they've got a kind of cross-border agreement amongst all the FAs. Anyway, Dan Dawson is watching the darts this afternoon. Dan, before you tell us what's going on, is this right that Divan Boder is an aubergine farmer?
He is genuinely an aubergine farmer, yeah. I mean, to be fair, he spent a lot of his youth out there physically picking aubergines. I think he sort of progressed doing some more office work, but basically, yeah, he works on an aubergine farm.
And that's why he carries one around and brings one on stage, but not last night when he won.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, he realises the power of a gimmick in this sport, but he's also careful not to overdo it.
Right.
I mean, you look at somebody like Simon Whitlock, who's basically embraced the wizard persona to the point where he actually believes he's a wizard right now.
That's
but Dirk van Dijvenbode, you don't want to go walking around carrying aubergine with you everywhere you go. It's impractical.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
This is from today's Times, Paul.
Oh, yeah.
Despite its extraordinary intelligence, the life of an octopus is a solitary one.
Oh, really?
And they've found that the mighty-brained cephalopod, that's an octopus.
Yeah, yeah.
Engages in a little bit of thuggery to relieve the boredom. Just linking to the boxing here.
Right, okay.
Scientists have discovered that on occasions, an octopus will punch a fish for no other reason than spite.
Just give it a dig.
Just give it just a little... Get out of the
really?
Way.
Really? Wow.
Bit bored, just whack out one of its arms.
I mentioned the other day was a nine-armed one that had popped up in...
nine-armed octopus.
He'd be great. He'd win the world championship, wouldn't he? Yeah, he was in
Japan. Changed the game.
Yeah,
he changed the game. He's got him in an eight arm lock. Where does he go from here?
Yeah.
Doosh.
The extra arm.
The ninth arm.
We were saying earlier on, so many of the kind of nightclubs and fun pubs of our youth, people would have been going there tonight.
Oh,
and,
lovely.
You told
lovely
us about the quids in.
Quids in, yeah.
Scarborough's now £4 to get in. So the listeners reacted to some of the fine night spots they went to over the years. Nightclub in Great Yarmouth called The Bird's Nest. That's happy memories for somebody. Do you remember this one? Somebody says there's a place called Vanilla in Truro. No. Does that ring a bell?
Truro is about as far away from where I grew up. I know you all think it's within one small village when we all speak like this. But although on the way in this morning, I did drive past a tractor, proper old school tractor as well, open cab. And he came around the corner, this farmer, and his hat blew off. and he got covered in a big puddle, and I thought if anyone saw me driving past that, they'd go, see, it is like that.
it's exactly like that.
Yeah, so Truro is about as far as me as sort of Bristol is, so you know.
Okay,
long
so
way
it's,
away.
It's not on the doorstep.
No,
fair enough.
In the '80s, in Beeston, Nottingham had a place called Charlie's Barn. One night, a python from the pet shop next door escaped, came into the club through the suspended ceiling. Can still remember the stampede. Unbelievable.
This is Puggy says Glasgow's West End and Cleopatra's nightclub, commonly known as Clatty Pats. This came from the perspiration of dancers gathering on the ceiling and dripping back onto you.
Don't we'll be back doing that for a while.
No, that doesn't sound very COVID safe, the idea of secondhand sweat from a ceiling.
Love them. Great punk band.
The things, yeah. Tonight's session. The things we took for granted, about nine months ago. Still to come, Steve Palmer's going to join us, Ipswich fans, a man who graced your club for many years. He popped up on University Challenge earlier this week.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
The real one, or is it a celebrity one?
It's the alumni. It's the,
The
old boys, the vets. It's the vets, to put it in football vernacular.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast
from TalkSport.
Was there a Winkers in Chalfont? This is claimed by David Gibbs. He used to go to Winkers in Chalfont.
I feel like people are trying to catch us out on some of these names.
Dan in Kettering. I'm not sure. Dan in Kettering used to go to Reflections. Oh, that was a classic. They're probably all over the country. Frequented many years later by Alan Carr at the time his dad. Graham was manager of Kettering Town, he tells us. Rockies in Leeds had a boxing ring as a dance floor, which was pretty apt, as there was a fight most weeks, says Paddy in Leeds.
If you ever have Alan on the show, Paul, I mean, you must have had him on a few times, you must get him to tell the story of when, like, you know, his dad got him a game at a local football team. And, of course, everyone expected him to turn up.
Because he chip off the old block.
Chip off the old block, and he was Alan Carr, you know. Yeah. So it's very, very funny.
Alan's only been on the show. Actually, he's been on the show a couple of times. But the first time he was on, a long time ago, the first time he was on, a friend of ours was promoting his gig. He was doing a gig at one of the lounges at Manchester City. Mm-hmm. And our friend said, a bit quiet ticket sales. He said he's really funny. He's a good bloke. Get him on. He's got a kind of football background.
Yeah.
And Alan came on. He was brilliant. And he just did 10 minutes with us. And then he sort of sold out the room off the back of it with his football tales. And
lovely
then
man.
I think he's been on a couple of times since in the very early days. But couldn't sell out a 200 seater when he first came on.
So it goes. Hey? So it is, isn't it? You know.
Look at him now. Stadiums.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. From TalkSport.
Charlie, you were telling us recently that you're quite a keen fisherman.
Oh, yeah.
You've been going fishing a lot, and we spoke yesterday to a man who caught a salmon in a puddle in a car park.
We did. Did we do that?
we did that. That was true. That did happen. So have you heard of the art of magnet fishing? Aware of this?
I've seen people magnet fish.
While you're fishing?
While I'm fishing, but also just around. I live right next to the Thames, and I've seen people magnet fishing off Wallingford Bridge.
Right. Well, because a fella called Shay Williams, he got 19 hand grenades out of the Tame near Sutton Coldfield.
That's a lot.
Well, also, it's quite dangerous, isn't it?
That often happens, apparently, with
World War II explosive devices were picked off. The area had to be cordoned off. And
but what they get is a really strong, like an electromagnet, that sort of. No, it can't be an electromagnet. Going in the river, can it?
Health and safety gone mad.
Yeah. Just wire it up, drop it in the river.
Just a big old
magnet.
That'll
be right. Big old magnet on the end of a big old bit of rope or string. And they pull out bikes and they pull out all sorts of what they're trying to get is like a ring or something like that off the bottom of it.
Yeah, detectorist type stuff.
Exactly. But of course, in the Second World War, everyone chucked all sorts of stuff in the river.
End of Series 4, maybe Bob and Paul will get for gone fishing and get a couple of big old magnets
out.
Let's
go magnet fishing.
And go there and dig a couple of bikes out.
It looks fun. I think it must be legal. But often they'll have to close bridges. There's a place near us called Sonning Common, which is where George Clooney lives. And they'll.
All right.
And
do you ever pop in? Go
I don't
see
pop
him
in. I don't know George. I've got an espresso.
Have you ever seen him out and about?
I've never seen him out and about. I don't believe he actually
does.
Does he not
get out and about?
Well, it's far enough away from me for us not to.
Do you hang around in the local on the off chance he comes in and says, drinks for everybody?
Very similar Venn diagram, me and George Paul, as you know.
Well, I don't see why not.
The old magnet fishing often shuts down towns because of the bombs that people find.
19 hand grenades.
That's too many,
bad.
Isn't it?
In your keep net.
I feel like he put them in himself.
If on the cover of Magnet Fishing Times, you have a bloke holding 19 hand grenades. He's been in a sort of army jacket, bending on one knee on the riverbank.
Look at it, isn't it beautiful?
Is there a Magnet Fishing Monthly? Is there a magazine for the magnet fisherman?
There is for most things, isn't there?
Magnet Fishing Magazine. I'm going to have a look it up and see if they do one. It's going to end up with I Got News For You at some stage.
Magnet Fishing Magazine.
Yeah. Magnet fishing art. It doesn't appear to be.
Start one, Paul. Perhaps you've got a history in magazines. You get back into the old publishing game.
Do you think there's enough people into it? Magnet fishing magazine. I mean, what sort of features would you get?
Best rope to use.
You'd have
where to buy.
After week one, then you've done the review of the best magnets to magnet fish with. You'd be really struggling, wouldn't you?
Well, I can imagine you'd need a good bit of rope because. You know, you could chuck it in with the magnet on the end.
So
you're pulling it in. You're pulling whatever you've caught in. Your rope snaps.
Issue one, I do rope. So issue two, I do rope. Issue one, I do magnets. And effectively, I've got nowhere to go with consumer guides.
But what to do if you find a World War II unexploded shell on that's the end of your magnet.
Call the army. That's what you do. Then try and defuse it yourself.
I think there's life in it, Paul. I think it's a good idea for you.
I've heard worse publishing ideas and have worked on many of them. But Magnet Fishing Monthly. I mean, what would it be called? As a
MGM.
What do you call it? MGM. Maybe they could sponsor it for us, yeah. That's right. All right. Take it as read. That's what I'll spend my Christmas doing.
Lovely.
Just a quick letter from Jane Moth, that would have been to the Telegraph. She would have been great for TV formats, but we weren't bothered.
Get too near the light.
She would. They obviously had a correspondence in the Telegraph about worst Christmases ever. This one felt a bit bleak.
Okay.
And you wonder what her brother went on to do, really. And you do worry about him. He said, "My worst Christmas ever was when my brother inked a Hitler moustache on the beautiful blonde doll my sister had just given me. 60 years on, the memory still lingers."
Oh, dear. Cindy. Hail Cindy.
Yeah, just with the brother, why he would suddenly do that. He'd pick up your sister's... I mean, it's a cruel thing.
It's ruined
what business he went into after that. Anyway, let's bring you some clips of the month from December. You can go to Twitter at TSHNJ, TSANDJ, and vote for your favourite very shortly. And we've got six for you, and there'll be sort of two semi-finals and a final, and we'll play the winner just before at 4 o'clock when Andy and Goffey pop in to do Drive. We'll kick off with Alan Brazil on Breakfast, struggling. Ali McCoy's features in this, of course. Struggling with a particular word.
Before we move on, all bets are off for numpty of the week, Alan. The resounding recipient. Was it?
Recipient.
Ricep, he was in at one point, wasn't he? He lost it completely, Alan. He couldn't say that.
Oh, exactly. There, this is Kate Partridge at Portman Road previewing Ipswich v Charlton.
Tractor Boys losing 3-0 at home to Leaders Hull, and the fans responded with a banner calling for Paul Lambert's head, and he makes four changes in a lineup in a 4-4-3-3.
Playing a 4-4-4-3-3. And Paul Lambert's definitely going to keep his job if they play with that many players. 16 aside, yeah, or exactly. 18 aside, sorry. Not great mess.
Sounds like one of those Eton Wall games.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah. Now, Champions League news now, and we're guessing our newsreader here isn't a massive football fan.
Paris Saint-Germain and Istanbul Basakşehir.
Yeah, okay, that's close enough. Look, that'll do. Can you get yourself over to work for UEFA, stuff on their website?
Just jump in and go for it. That's fine. Back to Big Al on Breakfast, who's embarked on a very unlikely crusade.
But doing a walk, which will in turn help the fight against, especially this time of the year, by the way, against homeliness.
Have you got a problem with homeliness? Yeah. You hate homeliness.
Live, love, laugh on the wall.
Yeah, especially this time of year.
Nice bit of candles.
You'll walk past people's house, they've got a Christmas tree up, and it's all warm and cosy, and you think, I hate you.
I hate that. I'm going to raise money, crowdfunder against it.
Against homeliness. here's Bob Mills being a bit harsh on himself, we felt.
Cottrell came on, young lad, made his debut, so...
But is there not a problem here, Perry? And I'm talking from my Arsenal.
Don't be so hard on yourself. Really. You're not that kind of man, Bob. We respect you.
And finally, here's Reshman Chowdhury on game day with a question for a former England defender.
Yeah, interesting. Who would you want to make you dinner out of the Everton team, Alvin Martin?
Out of the Everton team?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind Andre Gomez. He could bring those Portuguese little tarts, couldn't he?
Well, that's a possibility, Reshman, yeah.
And she said it.
Gomez won't be particularly happy. So anyway, was it Alan, recipient? Was it Kate with the 4-4-4-3-3 formation? Was it Bishabak-Bak-Bak-Bak-Bak-Shahir on the news reading? Was it Big Al on his crusade against homeliness? Big Bob talking out of his Arsenal? Or was it Reshmin and her little Portuguese tarts? What's your favourite? We'll play the winner again at a couple of minutes
to four. A natas brafas?
You're thinking...
That's potatoes, isn't it?
Yeah.
A natas. It is a natas, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Pastel de nata.
Natas. I just loved you saying natas. It was like, recipient.
A pastel.
You were
dinata.
Basically having some potatoes at that point.
Yeah, lovely, lovely. Yeah. When you order.
So, what's your favourite? Go along at TSHNJ. TSHANDJ. You can vote for your favourite there. Two semi-finals. Vote in those, and we'll give you the finalists in about half an hour's time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
At the moment, Charlie, they're very much loving Big Alan's battle against homeliness. Ooh, but it could be recipient. Go along and vote for your favourite.
There's a lot of it at Christmas, Paul, especially now. Everyone's in Tier 4.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, welcome to Tier 4, Charlie. I've been there for a week.
Yes, I've just seen Brighton and Southampton fans can't go to their home games.
Yeah, that's a blow. The other fallout from that, this new strain that Toby was talking about, and Charlotte tell us more at 4 o'clock, of course, in the news. But the cricketers have just come back from South Africa, England's cricketers. They're due to fly to Sri Lanka and get there for January the 2nd. So I know in the scheme of things, but, you know, more sporting mayhem.
I can't see that tour happening, to be honest.
Things are going.
I'd be absolutely amazed, but, you know.
Well, anyway.
They're trying to keep everything going, aren't they? But it's going to...
Football here, we're seeing more games called off and stuff. It's going to be tough. Anyway, on a lighter note, could you eat 60 Yorkshire puddings in 3 minutes? Why would you want to? Well, competitively, we love competitive eating on the show. Yes. We've always seen it as a proper sport.
It's always impressive, isn't it? The hot dog one is the one always...
Coney Island.
Wieners, when they just drop them down their throats.
Well, we can make some comparisons to that because there is the art of... when you eat the bun in competitive hot dog eating at Nathan's on July the 4th in Coney Island, they dip the buns... They dip the buns in and they wet them so they're easier to digest.
They have like a big cup of...
And the Yorkie, of course, you would think, is quite dry.
Yeah.
To work its way down. So a lot of people have said, because we said our next guest was coming on who did exactly that, 60 in 3 minutes, can you dip them in gravy?
This is what I like about these tournaments is that you say to someone, could you do that? And you go, everyone gives it a serious thought. Could I do that? Can I have gravy?
Yeah. Well, let's find out. Carl Gibson is the record breaker. Hi, Carl.
Hello.
Are you allowed to dip your Yorkie in gravy?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you've got to have gravy, don't you?
And does that must help? It must help lubricate it on the way down because the Yorkie, I mean, it can be a bit dry, a bit crunchy in places.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. There was pretty much no drinking involved. I was just pretty much drinking the gravy.
Right, okay. Right. 60 in 3 minutes. I mean, that's a lot. What's the technique? I mean, what were you doing?
I pretty much just grabbed about 5 in my hand, squished them, and then dunked them in the gravy, and then shoved them in my mouth.
Okay, yeah.
I bet it looked beautiful at the end. Yeah. Just covered in dry batter and gravy.
Is there a uniform size of Yorkshire pudding that, it has to be so everyone gets a similar level?
I'd say it was they were more on the smaller side. But I would say they're about average. I wouldn't say they were too small, though.
Right. And were they effectively filled with gravy? Because they become a gravy receptacle, don't they? Mm. So they don't necessarily moisten it, but they it becomes like a little gravy boat, coracle.
Well, originally Yorkshire puddings were the size of a plate.
That's what they were, and you can still get them like that. Coracle, I think, used to read the news on CNN. So, you probably took in a lot of gravy as well.
I'd say I probably took in maybe 1.5 litres.
Wow, that's a lot of gravy. That's a lot of gravy to take on board.
Too much gravy.
On top of 60 Yorkshires.
Even at Christmas, that's too much.
That's right.
What's your history in this? Have you done some before?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm probably the third best in Britain at the moment.
Mm. Wow. So what's the competition like? How many can they put away in 3 minutes?
They haven't tried.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. You mean in the world generally of competitive eating or just Yorkshire puddings?
No, just in Britain, like competitive eating, there's pretty much only 3 or 4 of us in the entire of Britain.
Right. Yeah.
And in the world, I feel.
What other things have you eaten at sort of speed or indeed number? What ones have you gone with?
Recently I've tried to eat the entire KFC menu. That was fun.
Wow. Okay.
That's tough, isn't it?
Not the moist wipes as well. You've got to draw the line somewhere. They're still giving them out.
I don't think you eat the bucket.
It's not an edible bucket. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, that's an idea, though. For KFC, you should copyright that, Paul.
Edible
bucket.
What with that and me magnet fishing magazine, I'm going to be busy over Christmas.
You won't see him in the new year.
So how quickly did you eat your way through the KFC? Was it just endurance rather than time, that?
Mm. I pretty much got through the majority of it. I actually failed that one. I left like some of the sides, but I got through the majority in like an hour.
Is there a, you know, these, so you have the people who do the how many of the ones can you eat in a certain amount of time?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's also those ones where they have the man versus food sort of challenges, like can you eat this massive steak and yeah, then you get it for free or whatever. Is that seen as two different codes in the competitive eating world? Is that like union and league?
No, I mean, they both go hand in hand, you know. I mean, the restaurant challenges, you still need the speed aspect.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, I've done stuff like, I've got the unofficial world record for the most Oreos eaten.
The most Oreos?
The most Oreos in 5 minutes.
Okay. Oh, again, Eric, that's a dry. You seem to be a specialist in eating quite dry things.
Particularly wet mouth.
You must have a very wet mouth.
For the Oreos, I did, I think it was 154 in 5 minutes.
154? Wow. Can you, again, could you dip them in a cup of tea?
I mean, I had a giant bowl of milk. I think I had like 3 litres of milk in front of me.
Okay, Oreo cookies and milk. Yeah, I suppose they're the kind of great American tradition.
Fill up on the milk. I mean, yeah, what's your tactic when you go in for the KFC menu? Are you eat the chips first and then
go
in on
the
chicken,
that,
or are you batter your chicken first and then you have to finish the
chips? You're
going to
give it a try on your way home.
Because there's always the thing in it, don't fill up on bread. Don't fill up on bread when you're going for like a buffet dinner.
I started with the bucket of chicken. That was 14.
Yeah.
And then, I think I did it in the wrong order because I left all the fries till the end.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what got me here. They were just cold and soggy by the end, and I just...
No one wants that, do they? Yeah, you should get a phone call from the Colonel if you've done that. He's still going, isn't he? Still out there?
Yeah.
Surely he must have dropped a bit of chicken down that white suit over the years. A man who dresses like that when you're eating chicken out of a bucket, really, was never going to keep clean for long, was it? Yeah. So what's next for you then, Kyle? What's your next challenge?
I'm not entirely sure I'm going to have a good Christmas. Going to have a massive Christmas dinner.
Right, okay. Yeah. I'm getting a massive Christmas dinner in 4 seconds. You pace yourself. No one's watching, Carl. You can pace yourself on this.
The whole
one.
Turkey.
And are you a quick eater generally? Or do you kind of polish off your dinner quite quickly or not?
Yeah, I'd say I'm probably above average when it comes to just eating a regular meal.
Okay.
It isn't a race, though, is it?
So he could start his Christmas dinner when the Queen comes on, just be finishing his pud when she's finished 10 minutes later. Be great.
I always think, creme caramels.
Oh, yeah.
They're like my least favourite. But I think they'd slide down.
You could eat
You could eat a lot
oysters,
of those, I reckon.
Oysters or creme caramels. Yeah,
how many creme caramels do you think you could eat in a minute?
Really thick, though.
Yeah, it'd be sickly, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would be, that could be kind of not good. Anyway, Carl, have a great Christmas. Enjoy your leisurely paced dinner, and we'll no doubt chat again when you go for your next record.
Amazing. Thank you very much.
Cheers, there we are, Carl Gibson there. He's only 22, and it was...
left in the game.
He used to have Yorkshire pudding battles with his sister, and that's how he knew he was good.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he'd eat more than she could, and he thought, this is... And that's, and there he is, one of the top three competitive eaters in this country. And with the cookies and milk, you can take that to the States, can't you? That's an international record.
We couldn't get the other two, no? The other two were...
We don't know who they are. He wouldn't mention that. He couldn't even bring himself to trash talk. Couldn't even say their names.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Stoke Tottenham at 5:30 on TalkSport 2. And then it is Everton versus Manchester United. And we speak now to an Evertonian ahead of that game. And we are joined by a man who's popped up on the show a few times over the years. Oh, Evertonian comedian, Sam Avery. Good afternoon, Sam.
Afternoon, fellas.
Hey, Sam.
I was surprised that Everton had never won this. I mean, I suppose if I'd looked at the record books, I would have seen that. But I saw Ancelotti saying, we've never won this competition.
Yeah, never. And I remember as a kid, like in the 80s, Liverpool won it every year, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
The first half of the decade. And I remember going into school as about an 8-year-old, and I think Liverpool had lost to Arsenal in the final, and I was like running around the playground with no dignity, saying, you lost to Arsenal, and all my Liverpool fan mates were just saying, you've never won it, and I was like, have we ever? No. It was just like embarrassing. So ever since then, I've always checked Wikipedia before I start gloating about anything.
You're happy at the moment, Sam, with the season, and enjoying Ancelotti dipped a little bit, but he's really pulled you back into it, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm dead happy at the moment. Obviously, the last 7 days, well, the last three games certainly have been fantastic for us. And I think the main thing for Everton fans is that we've looked really solid at the back. And I think that's something that even in the first seven games when we won every game, we conceded loads of goals. You know, we happened to outscore the opposition each time. So it's definitely something that is you know, cheered us all up a lot. But I think with football, you know, at the start of the season, we were like top of the league, and we knew it wouldn't last, but we were kind of going, yeah, we're top of the league. This is brilliant. Football's amazing. And then the next sort of five games, we had a really bad run. And it was like, ah, football's terrible again. And now I'm back to being like, I think we're going to finish top four again now. So I'm just trying to kind of rein it in a little bit, because I think if we could get top six, I think that'd be a really good season.
You look at these kind of super European coaches, and, you know, he was a great player, and there he is as the top coach, and he gets the plum jobs, you know, Madrid and PSG, etc. But, you know, he's a good coach.
He
knows he's proving.
What he's doing, doesn't he?
He's proving to be a good coach. He's proved it with Calvert-Lewin, how much better he's made him. Even players like Yerry Mina looks like an accident waiting to happen. Now looks like a threat going forward. Looks a lot more solid than he did. I mean, he's been good for Keane, understandably, I suppose. But I think he's been fantastic for you, hasn't he?
Yeah, and I think the sort of just the way he carries himself and the way he talks in sort of post-match interviews, that you get a sense of there's such a confidence, as you'd expect with the track record he's got, but there's such a kind of an assurance. And you get the feeling the way the players talk about him, that they really want to, you know, perform for him, which you would hope that you would get from a top manager. But what was interesting over the last, you know, when we had that dip in form recently, there was a school of thought being kind of pushed on social media that, you know, Ancelotti, you know, he's only ever had these world-class players, and now he's playing with, you know, a squad who's probably much below world-class at the moment. Can he, you know, do the same thing with that? But like some of the players you've mentioned, you know, Michael Keane's come on leaps and bounds. Yeti Mina, it was just, you know, with his go-go gadget legs, he's been fantastic in the last week. He's been great. So, I mean, I've got loads of confidence in Ancelotti, and I just, it's as an Everton fan, it's really exciting to just watch the progression and the journey. And I think that's what you've got to enjoy as a football fan, because the end product often never comes, as it never has for us in the League Cup.
Do you think you've looked better without James?
I think we've looked more solid without James, because he basically offers very little defensively, you know, other than perhaps making the other team kind of have to set up differently to, you know, adjust to his left foot, which is just, you know, he's just a delight to watch when he's on the ball. But I think certainly playing those like four centre-halves across the back, as we've done in the last three games, we've looked a lot more solid. And I think with some of those games, what I have thought, obviously Hammond has been injured, but if he would have been on the bench to come on at like 65, 70 minutes, I think he would have had a field day in some of those games, because I think he could have really sort of found the holes then. So maybe that's something he can do going forward. But I think he's out again tonight, I believe.
Yes, I think so, yeah. I mean, another success really has been Gylfi Sigurdsson. I don't know if he's sort of doing it out of anger because he thought he was on his way out and he wasn't getting games, but whatever however Ancelotti has handled him seems to be working, because he has stepped up when he's been needed, hasn't he?
He certainly has in the last month or so. I think before that he was still kind of, he had a lot to prove, really. I think just that price tag he came in on was just, you know, so inflated. I think if you take that price tag away, he's been all right. He's not been exceptional, but he's been all right. And I think what we'd like to see more of is his set piece taking, which has just been non-existent at Everton. Like in all his other, certainly for Swansea, he was knocking him in all over the place, and he took a free kick against Arsenal that looked like something my nan had do, which is like rolled along the floor.
She's got a good left foot though, mate. Yeah.
She's got a corker when the wind's behind it.
So they're going to put out strong teams tonight. Ancelotti said that. I mean, they're going to put out a pretty decent side, I would imagine, and United the same. So it should be a cracking game, this.
It should be, yeah. I mean, we got battered really by them in the end in the league a few weeks ago. But because Man U have just been one of those, they're like a horror movie villain, aren't they? Just when you think they're down and out, they just come back and they're more powerful than ever.
Yeah,
they just seem to have risen, and now they're flying in the league, looking really good on the pitch. And I think it's going to be a really tough game for Everton tonight. And I think if we can just, you know, keep it steady, it'll be interesting to see the team selection, to be honest, whether he keeps it as defensive, because I think Coleman might be back as well. So that gives us a more attacking threat down the right. So,
yeah,
I'm fascinated to see what team he puts out, really. I'm for Ollie as well, and what team he puts out for Man United. So that'll be really interesting.
It's almost like, with the way the games are at the moment, is what's the point in not just absolutely going for it all the time? Because there's no,
you may end up getting three weeks off because the other team can't get a team out.
There's nothing else to do, is there? So you may as well try and just play the game and score some goals and entertain people.
I mean, that's what I always think. I think most fans probably just, let's just go for it. It's a cup competition, and especially because Everton have never won it. I know it's not the most prestigious competition. We've never won it. Mm, yeah. So I'd love a little bit of it. And, you know, I know the Christmas period's very busy, so it's whether he's got one eye on, you know, a Boxing Day forward. But I'd like to see him go for it tonight, and just because I think we can beat Man U with the form that we're in. But it's going to be a tough game. But yeah, just go for it. It's cup competition. We've got nothing else to look forward to at the moment.
Cheers, Sam. Enjoy the match.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you. See you soon.
Cheers, mate.
There we are. Sam Avery there. Thanks him. And
really good comedian. He's got a couple of great books out about...
The Learner Parent. He told us. He does that live stuff. And there's some stuff on Facebook. You should go and check out. He's funny man.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Anyway, we got the winner of the Clips of the Month.
Lovely.
Thanks
stuff.
To everybody who voted. With 56.2% of the vote, it is Alan Brazil here. And we were a little bit shocked about his unlikely crusade.
We were.
But doing a walk, which will in turn help the fight against, especially this time of the year, by the way, against homelessness.
Yeah, let's have no homeliness. Certainly at Christmas. Lots of Oliver
Cromwell. No chestnuts roasting on open fire.
Definitely not.
No Jack Frost nipping at your nose.
Charlie, thank you ever so much.
Thank you, Paul. Have a lovely time. Cheers. Happy Christmas.
See you in the new year. When are you back on TalkSport?
I'm on Saturday, Boxing Day morning.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon's show. Would you be the first celebrity interview? Magnet fishing.
I've never actually magnet fished, but I'd be happy to take it up for the magazine.
Brilliant. Okay.
So have a weekly column.
It's really new converts to the sport. People have converted from the traditional fishing. Brilliant. Okay. Well, thank you, Charlie, for your
thank you, Paul. Happy Christmas to you.
Happy Christmas to you. And Andy will be back tomorrow for the Christmas Eve special with the listeners.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4pm on TalkSport.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.